Good afternoon. So good to be with the brethren today, worshiping our Lord and our Savior. It's good to have all the visitors with us today. We have a number among us, some that are very near and dear to me, some good friends of mine coming into town for a visit. It's good to see all of them. And all of our other visitors who I may not know, I hope to get a chance to meet you after services this evening. There are some characters in the Bible that we study from time to time who we simply don't know very much about. Maybe only a verse or two is given to them in the biblical text, and we just don't know that much about them. Men like Enoch, who, in Genesis, in the early chapters of Genesis, he was taken from God, or he was taken by God. He did not see death, but that's really all we know about Enoch, and he comes back up in the book of Hebrews. And, you know, there's characters like that from time to time that we look at, we just don't know that much about. But while little is known about some of these characters in the Bible, they often leave us great examples, whether that example be good or whether it be bad. But we can learn a lot from these examples. We can learn so much from them. Such a man who left an example is that of Apollos. Thank you. Such a man is that of Apollos. Apollos is a man who we don't know much about. Really, the verses there on the screen, Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, are the only verses about him in a narrative. There's a couple verses where he's mentioned in some of the epistles, but this is really what we know about the character of Apollos. Now, what I'd like to do with what little time we have here today is talk about this character and talk about what we can learn from his life and what he did in his life. If you'd like to turn over to Acts chapter 18 with me, we'll begin reading in verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So those five verses is virtually all we have about this man. Now, this is the longest text dealing with Apollos and his actions. But what is known of this man is exceptional. This man was an exceptional worker for the Lord. He did great things for the cause of Christ. And Christians ought to find in Apollos an example worthy of being imitated. We ought to follow the example of a man like Apollos. Well, what is it about Apollos that we need to imitate in our lives? What is it that we need to emulate about this man? Well, I'm going to suggest three things to you today about this man, and that are what we're going to go ahead and tell you. These three things. It's that he was an eloquent man, he was a knowledgeable man, and he was a humble man. Apollos certainly was a great character, and it was demonstrated in his eloquence, his knowledge, and in his humility. So as we look at this character of Apollos, the first thing is that he was indeed an eloquent man. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, we just read. But let's read it one more time. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. So this man, Apollos, was an eloquent man. We read in verse 24. Now, what does it mean to be eloquent? But he had an ability. He used his talent for the Lord. He had an ability to speak. He was eloquent, good with words. We read on down in verse 26 that he began to speak boldly. So not only was he capable of speaking, but he used that talent. He used that ability. In verse 28 of Acts chapter 18, he says, "For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public." So again, we see him using the ability that God gave him. Certainly, he was an eloquent man. But I think it's important to note that being a good speaker is not necessarily a bad thing. Oftentimes, I think that some people, not everyone, but some people have a tendency to look down on people who are eloquent. Maybe they appear stuck up or for other reasons they are haughty in their ability. And there may very well be those who have that issue. But being eloquent certainly helped Apollos. It helped him in his work at Corinth. He was able to confront the Jews in public in Acts chapter 18 and verse 28, we already read, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so we see that he used his ability. He used the abilities that God gave him. He was an eloquent man. Paul recognized in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll go ahead and turn over there with me, Paul recognized the good that Apollos could do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth, so that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. Now I think it's important to note that in this context, even as we've been studying on Wednesday night, we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. In this context, Paul is putting the focus back on God. He's taking it off of men and putting it back on God. And he's saying, you don't follow us, you don't follow the divisions of men. But it is no doubt that Paul recognized the good that Apollos could do from this text. He says Apollos could water. He could do his part in the Lord's church. And certainly that is demonstrated in the fact that he was an eloquent man. He is described as a fellow worker by Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One who is able to help the church grow. Again, over in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, Paul writes this young preacher with similar words about Apollos. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. So he tells Titus, I want you to send Zenas and Apollos. I want you to send Apollos to me. Why? Because he can be of help. He can help me in my work. And certainly Paul recognized that the eloquence of Apollos was that could be effective in the church, that it could help him if he used his ability as he ought to. Paul knew that a man like Apollos was capable of this kind of work. So being eloquent with words is viewed as a positive trait in the case of Apollos. Now, if we are blessed with the ability to speak, or really it doesn't matter, if we're blessed with any abilities, we ought to use them. God has blessed us with so many abilities. He's blessed us beyond what we are deserving of. And this principle that Apollos is demonstrating here is across the board. We need to use our abilities. We need to use whatever talents we have. In the case of Apollos, he was an eloquent man. Apollos used his ability to the glory of God, and we ought to do the same, even in our lives. Well, what else about Apollos? Apollos was not just eloquent, but he coupled his eloquence with a knowledge of scriptures. And I think that's important, that we find a man who not only was good at speaking, who was not only an able speaker, but what did he choose to speak on? What did he choose to portray? But the very words of God and the knowledge that he had of that word. Turn back over to Acts chapter 18 with me. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. We'll read it again. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So we find that he was competent in the scriptures. He understood the things that he read. And by the way, I would also point out that probably demonstrates that he read the scriptures. And that's the only way we're going to get knowledge is if we read the scriptures and if we interact with the words of God. But he was competent in the scriptures. He had an understanding. We read in verse 25, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. So somewhere along the line, someone taught him the way of the Lord, although we're told he knew only the baptism of John. But he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He understood the words of God. And in verse 25, we're also told that he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. He was not just someone who flippantly used his ability to speak about the words of Christ, but he accurately portrayed those things. He taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. And then in verse 28, as we've already pointed out, he powerfully refuted the Jews in public by the scriptures. He understood scriptures. It's not just that he went out, refuting the Jews, saying you're wrong. He pointed them to scriptures. He had an understanding. He had a knowledge of the scriptures, and he used that. And certainly that should be our aim. Whenever we're talking about things of a religious matter or things pertaining to God's Word, we don't need to be concerned with our feelings or how we think a text should read. What does the text say? Let's point people to Scriptures. It should always be our aim to hide behind the words of God and let God's Word scream forth. So he was competent in the Scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He had that ability to speak the words of Christ. You know, we can have all the abilities in the world. We can have all the talents. We can have everything going for us. But if we don't couple that with knowledge, if we don't couple that with an understanding of the Word of God, it doesn't matter what your talent is. If you don't couple that with the words of God, it's worthless. We must know the Scriptures. This means we'll have to put in effort. We're going to have to study the Word, take advantage of the resources we have. You know, we are living in a day and age when so many resources are available to us. We have translations available of various scholars' thoughts on the Word that we have no excuse not to study the Word of God. We have no excuse not to understand what the Bible is saying. But of course, the Bible is simple. I am a firm believer that the Bible is a simple book and it was meant to be understood by men as it was given to men for them to understand. So we ought not, we have no excuse not to study, not to use the resources we have. We need to accept instruction. We need to accept correction when it comes our way. Only then will we be able to show others who Christ is. Only then will we be able to accurately share our faith. Only then will we be able to refute the Jews of today, as it were, the false teachers who are out with Scripture. But there's one more thing that I think we can note about Apollos, and that is that above all these things, yes, he was an eloquent man. Yes, he was a man of knowledge. He had a knowledge of the Scriptures. But I think the most striking thing is the humility of Apollos, because Apollos was a humble man. Read with me again in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 24 with me. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So we find this man, he's an eloquent man. He's got this ability that few men have. He's a knowledgeable man. He's got a supreme knowledge of the words of God. He understands how to relay those things to people. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard of him, and they heard him teaching, they took him aside, and they taught him. And he did not, act negatively towards their teaching. Rather, he accepted their teaching. He was humble. He understood that he, even he, with the great knowledge that he had, with his great oratory ability, he needed the correction at that time. And all indications show that he accepted this teaching graciously, that he took it and he used it as he refuted the Jews later on. You know, another example of Apollos' humility, I think, can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find there the divisions that are among the church in Corinth. And no doubt, Apollos spent a lot of time with the church in Corinth. He was well known to these brethren. These brethren obviously had a great respect for them. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, he says, "Now I mean this," concerning their divisions. He says, "I mean this, that each one of you is saying, 'I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.'" And of course, he goes on to say, "Is Christ divided?" No, that's not what's supposed to be going on in the church. But there was at least a faction of these Corinthian brethren who were saying, "I'm of Apollos." You know, Apollos was a big name here. You know, we talk sometimes about the big name preachers. Apollos was a big name preacher in Corinth. He knew what was going on. And these brethren looked up to him and they respected him. However, toward the end of the book, of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Toward the end of the word of the book, Paul writes these words in chapter 16 and verse 12. He says, "Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come to you. He will come when he has opportunity." Now, if I knew that a church respected me that much, and I knew that they had factions and divisions bearing my name, I might be tempted to go. I might be tempted to go and say, "Yeah, listen to me preach. You know, I can give you knowledge. I'm an eloquent speaker. I can give you an understanding of God's word." That's not what Apollos did. He waited. He waited until he had opportunity. It wasn't his desire to go right away and be surrounded by that kind of love and adoration by the brethren. Apollos was not filled with pride at the Corinthians' desire for him to come. Rather, he was filled with humility. He was a humble servant of God. He did his work where he was needed and where he was most effective. Apollos certainly was a humble individual. And I would suggest to you that that's hard to do. It's hard to do when you have the abilities and you have the knowledge and people look up to you. It's hard to remain humble, but we've got to remain humble because it's the words of God that demand that. When one is obviously gifted in speech and one is obviously gifted in knowledge, it's easy to become prideful. It's easy to become puffed up. But Apollos remained humble despite his gifts. And so we must remain humble despite anything that God has blessed us with. Because we must recognize where the true blessings come from. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God grants us our gifts. It's not anything that we accomplish, but only the gifts of God. So Apollos was a man of eloquence. He was a great speaker. He had that ability. He had that talent. He was a man of knowledge. He understood God's word. He knew how to relay that word to others, but he was a man of humility. There aren't many passages that talk about Apollos. Really, the ones we've touched on, even in 1 Corinthians and Titus, that's about it. That's all that's there about Apollos. There aren't many passages there, but the ones that do speak of a great man. And we would do well to be like Apollos. We ought to strive to live our lives in such a way that no matter if we have books and books written about our life or if we just have a few verses to our name, it doesn't matter. We ought to live our lives so as to glorify God. We ought to live our lives in a way that our epitaph would read much like Apollos's, that he was an eloquent man, a knowledgeable man, but a humble man who worked to the glory of God. Well, my lesson wasn't long this evening, and I'm sure you'll thank me for that later. But I do want to let you know that the work of Apollos was a good work. He was a good man, and there's not much written about him, but we ought to emulate him in our life. We ought to strive for the knowledge, the use of talents, and the humility that Apollos exemplified. And if there's anything we can do even this night to help you with that, we want to do that. We want to make sure we give you the opportunity to come forward and make any sins known, make your wishes to serve the Lord known. Serve like Apollos. Apollos was a great servant for the Lord. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, we want to make that opportunity known. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.